Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Rebecca, who has agreed to be with us. She's one of the folks in the Sangha who helps coordinate and manage the Reflective Listening Buddies program and has agreed to be with us this afternoon to talk about that program. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thanks, Jen.
So we like to feature the Reflective Listening Buddies program, I don't know, two or three times a year on the Good News Updates, largely because it's such a powerful program and such a great way to participate from home. And if I'm not mistaken, the deadline to sign up for the next quarter is coming up.
Yeah, we have a really rather kind of small window. So registration is going on now, and the deadline is July 1, I think at 5 p.m. or something. So register now. Don't delay.
Okay, so yeah, it really is coming up. So, yeah. You know, lots of people are familiar with the program, but not everyone. So I wondered if we might start off by just having you tell us what the program is and how it works and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and it's also a good reminder for people, who may have heard of it and think they know what it is. But, you know, if you've never participated, it's just something to be experienced. But basically how it works is people register and then there are facilitators who take a group of participants and we pair people up with another participant from another part of the country. Sometimes it's even another part of the world. And over the course of 3 months, every quarter, people commit to making a phone call, one phone call each week for 30 minutes, and they, with their buddy, and they can look at what's going on in their practice. So the way it would work is if you and I were buddies, Jen, I would call you and I would share for 15 minutes. And during that 15-minute time, you would reflect what I'm saying, every few sentences or so. And at the end of 15 minutes, we would switch and then you would share what's going on in your life, your practice, whatever you want to look at. And I would simply reflect back to you. And then we would hang up.
And that's it. So you're not chatting. You don't need to be social. You're not having to be a personality or anything. You're just simply sharing practice for those 30 minutes.
Yeah, you're getting the benefit of like having your own personal facilitator.
Yeah. Well, and as you described it, what I saw in it is that it's very it's very safe, of course, and very relaxing. Because when you got to the part where it's my 15 minutes to share whatever I'm seeing in practice, knowing that you're just going to reflect me, so you're not going to be asking me anything I don't want to be asked or asking me to fill in details I might not feel like filling in. You're simply going to be reflecting what I'm saying to you.
Yeah, that is a really critical piece because the structure of the program is set up in such a way that really there are no questions. There is no advice giving. There's not even a how are you doing or what's the weather like in California. Nothing like that, It's pure practice. And I think that I project that's what keeps people loving and coming back quarter after quarter to this program.
Yeah, the integrity of it is so rock solid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there is support. So if people are brand new, we have training calls that, in fact, everyone, who, whether they're brand new or not, are required to be on a training call each quarter just to brush up on the guidelines, just to keep that integrity that you're talking about. And the training calls, are July, they're on the website, but it's July 3rd and July 7th, and people pick the time that they can, best do. We send emails out to, remind them and tell them how to call in on these conference calls. But on those calls, we just methodically go through all the, just basically how to do this. So really and truly, no experience is necessary for participation in this program. This is a great sort of on-ramp to the, to the practice.
So it both teaches you about the program and the logistics of the program and how the program is going to work, but also specifically the skill of reflective listening.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, great. So exactly, you don't have to have, in fact, as far as I know, there are a number of people who have entered practice this way. They've never been to a retreat. They've not done email classes or that sort of thing, but they oftentimes find the radio show, however they find that, hear about it on the radio show, and then decide to sign up, and which is perfectly fine. That's a great way to start practicing.
Yeah. And, you know, we have support calls throughout the quarter, and just on the support calls, it's very common for people just to express gratitude time and again for this program and what it brings into our daily life. I know for me, it has just become such a way of life and such a welcome part of my week where I just know there's this time that I show up and I show up, I make the call, and I get to look at maybe something that's sort of been hanging in the back of my mind that I haven't really had time to give it my attention, or something that just little things been bothering me, or, you know, anything like that. And this is like a red carpet for that to be brought up and looked at in a really safe place.
So something that's been back there, kind of it's been around, but you haven't consciously really looked at it yet. And this is a red carpet, kind of a place for you to really look at it in a safe way.
Yeah, exactly. And that was good reflecting there, Jen.
Thank you. I'm practicing. Well, and actually, that's funny because one of the things that I notice about it, and one of the reasons I like featuring it regularly on Good News, is that it points out what a great program this is, but it also always reminds me of what a great skill reflective listening is just in our lives in general, just going around interacting with people we love and, you know, just the average person, you know, people at work and all. It's very, very, it's a useful way to communicate, very compassionate.
Oh, my gosh. You know, that is so true. And if I can just share one thing that I've noticed about my life from this particular practice, conditioning used to sort of accuse me of not being able to practice reflective listening in my daily life. You know, it would sort of say, you're not really practicing because you're not reflecting, you know. And like that was this goal that I had, was to just really bring reflective listening into every aspect of my life. And what I began to see after I sort of caught on that it was conditioning that was sort of beating me up around this thing, mm-hmm. was that it's a subtle way of being with my coworkers and with my family, with my kids, that is not, you know, I don't reflect back like I do on the calls. You know, that was an artificial standard, by the way, that the conditioning had put. But the way that I am with people is much more reflective, much less reactive than I used to be in my life.
Yes. Well, and as you were saying that, what I saw was, and I'll bet that so much of that comes from the literal reflecting practice that you're getting on the actual reflective listening buddies call.
Yeah, that is actually my point, and I'm glad you made it explicit, because if I hadn't had that practice of doing it, it just would never have occurred to me to kind of adopt that as a way of life. It wouldn't have been an option for me, let's say, you know?
Yes, exactly. It's beyond the particular words. It's an attitude of mind. It's a way of being with someone.
Yes, exactly. And we get to practice it quite literally in this very safe place. And it's sort of like, you know, that image that Sherry uses a lot about walking in a mist. Mm-hmm. It sort of just sinks in.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and I know, as you were saying, that people report back, you know, testimonials about the program. I've heard so many people say, well, you know, I just kept hearing people talk about it, and I thought, well, all right, I'll try it out. It sounds so simple and really basic. I mean, what could it be? But just something about it is very, very powerful. And people report that over and over, that it has such an impact. That one of the things that people often say is the practice of stopping in the middle of whatever they're doing. So, you know, they have their call at, you know, 3 o'clock on a Wednesday or whatever it is. And there we go. It's 3 o'clock Wednesday. Whether I feel like it or not, or I'm ready or not, it's 3 o'clock on Wednesday.
Because I've agreed
to show up for this other person, that's what I'm going to do. And so often, if there isn't that kind of a firm commitment, conditioning talks us into, well, I don't really think so. I'm not going to do that right now. But because it is that firm commitment, you know, we stop and do it. and find out for ourselves, wow, how powerful that is to stop in the middle of what conditioning has us in and to turn all of our attention to practice. And then we begin to do that in other places besides just the reflective listening buddies call.
Yes, it really does build that muscle. And a nice little byproduct of that kind of stopping and making that commitment and doing it is that, you know, at the end of the quarter, you can look back and say, well, good for me. I did that. You know, I didn't think I would have been able to do it, but I did.
Yeah. And we do have to end, but I wanted to go back to a point you made right at the beginning, which I really appreciated, which is often, you know, people will hear the opportunity and you said, even if you know about it and you've just sort of never done it, what a perfect time to do it in the middle of the deepening practice year. You know, we're halfway through the year, and this is really a great tool to deepen practice. You know, you don't need to fly out to California to do it. You don't even need to give up a whole Saturday. It's just these brief periods of time through the week. So really encourage people to give themselves the gift of doing that.
Yeah, you just need a phone or a computer if you're a Skyper, you know, and I just want to, if people are feeling inspired to do that, to just really don't delay, because conditioning will do its best to try to talk us out of it. And so just get on there and sign up. And I just want to also say that there's just tons of support. So if there's fear, that's, you know, not to let that keep us away, because there's tons of support.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the reasons of the redesign for this year of deepening practice is that there are now a number, as you say, of facilitators who are supporting the program, you being one of them, which allows people to get more sort of, I don't know if individual is quite the right word, but in smaller groups to be able to really get the support that we want them to have in the program.
Yeah, most definitely.
Rebecca, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. I love talking about this program.
Yeah, me too. All right. Take good care.
Have a good show.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you,
Rebecca. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Doing really, really well. How about you?
Oh, great. Good. I just noticed a smile come across my face.
And it's fun to hear those people talk about that program, isn't it?
Yes. It's a great program.
It is. It really is. And the point kind of that, one of the many great points that they were making, that it's such a simple yet powerful addition to one's practice. That whole thing of, there's so many components, but as mentioned, you know, I make a commitment and I stop and I keep that commitment no matter what's going on. That's huge. I have a chance to really listen to what somebody else is saying, to be really present for somebody else as they're looking at whatever is going on with them. And then I get a chance to hear myself talk about whatever it is that I'm talking about when somebody reflects that back to me. And since very often we don't actually hear what we're talking about, that's huge. All of those things are just essential to practice. It's yet such a simple little program.
It's great. It is great. Yes. Wonderful. Sherry, I have some announcements here. As we know, new quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies is about to begin.
We just learned that, didn't we?
Learned that. And I wanted to remind folks that the sign up is by July 1st.
Right.
Also,
corner.
Yes. And the new Your Practice Retreat is July 18th through 25th.
Mm.
And it's designed for those who've been with practice for a while and gives participants the opportunity to practice as a monk for a week.
Mm. Only a very privileged, is that a good word? So monks who have an outrageous amount of support in every day.
Great. That's wonderful. And also we have a new Rest and Be Thankful weekend retreat at the monastery coming up July 13th through 15th.
We're excited about that one.
Yes. It's a great chance to take it easy, enjoy a weekend of tranquility at the monastery. You can walk in nature, attend an art or yoga workshop, join the monks at meditation, the simple, delicious foods we heard about a week or two ago, and allow your heart to open to the generosity of life.
Within silence and solitude.
Yes. And folks can visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to read more or sign up for any of these events.
Oh, and I'm going to be in Colorado, assuming folks can get the wildfires there under control.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Are there wildfires?
Oh, my goodness. It's a terrible thing. We need to really be sending lots of cool, still energy to Colorado. It's on fire. So,
wow.
But anyway, if it all goes well, then I'll be there that weekend of the 13th, 14th, 15th, something like that, at Shambhala Mountain Center.
Shambhala Center. Yes. Wonderful. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. So let's get started. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hey, Janet.
Hi.
How goes it?
It's going really well. It was so funny. Today I was thinking that I wanted to get in touch with you, and then it was like Tuesday night. I was like, oh, great, I can call into the show. How perfect is that?
Yes. It's that old ask and we do receive.
Yeah, so I just retired last week from my teaching career.
Congratulations. My goodness.
And I was really excited because I left really happy. Oh. I mean, I just fell in love with my job and I left happy.
Uh-huh.
And it was just really nice.
Good. Now, the last time we talked, there were some voices that were not as excited about your decision.
Well, they kept, believe me, they were like there till the very end. But I just really was able to kind of let them be in the background and not pay attention, because they just didn't want to let up, you know, about how it was a mistake and all of that stuff, and I just chose not to listen to them.
Good for you. So once you recognized them for what they were and made that decision not to give them your attention, you were able to stay with your decision and to leave your job happy.
Yeah, and I was really happy I left happy.
Yeah. And they were trying to get you, you know, even if you left, which of course was going to be a big mistake, you weren't supposed to leave happy.
Yeah, exactly. And I have a whole plan of, you know, what I'm going to be doing. And today I started a monumental task of taking 20 years of having a classroom, bringing it back to my home, and kind of making my office space,
uh-huh.
you know, going through stuff.
Uh-huh.
And how you came up was I'm going through and sorting everything and labeling everything, and it just feels so great to be like all this, what felt like clutter. You know, I've got a place for everything now, or I'm throwing things out. And I found some things from last year's retreat, What You Practice Is What You Have.
Uh-huh.
I found a whole notebook, and I won't say anything.
No, because it's a secret retreat. But
what I want to say about the retreat was that a few of the things that we did, I mean, I sat down and I went over it, and I just started crying. I was just crying for, like, joy. I was really crying for joy because it was such a heart-opening experience. Uh-huh. And it was so much fun to find something that was written from that place of such opening.
Uh-huh. Oh, now we
and
have
such deep knowing.
Yes. Now we have to make some good connections here. So one of the things that is possible to do with that is to record it. Right?
Mm.
Now that you found it, you can record it so that you don't, you know, you can return to that heart opening experience.
Yeah.
You can talk yourself, you know, guide yourself into and through that experience. And the other thing, before I ask you more about your experience, is that I'm going to really encourage people, old-timers, you know, deep in practice, to consider repeating that retreat once a year or so. And we just finished one last week, and we had three people in it who had done the retreat before, and they said, wow, I thought I did the retreat before. It's amazing what I wasn't here for, you know, how much more I'm seeing this time. So
yeah, I
get that little plug in.
Totally got that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wish I was going back to it, but I'm going to the Your Practice retreat.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's going to be a fun one, too.
So
we have a lot of fun ones. I got to tell you,
they're always great.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just such a surprise. It's like I was going through, and then I, you know, I just stopped and I started reading something, and I just read it, and it was like it brought back everything.
Yeah. It just all, it didn't take you back there. It brought that experience into your present.
Yes. Exactly. And that's when I said, "Oh, I'm gonna email Sherry and tell her how powerful that retreat was, and how much I love the monastery, and how much I love this practice." So
good.
I'm telling you.
Good, great. Now let me ask you this, Janet: when is the last time you were here
for that retreat? I was here last summer.
I was there
last summer.
Oh, I am so excited for you to be here this summer.
You are?
Yes, yes, because the transformation that the monastery has been through since you saw it last, I think is just going to delight you beyond all telling.
Yay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to it then.
Oh, yes, yes.
I'm looking forward to it anyway, but I wanted to call in and just say yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
Well, thank you for that. And the connection with that for me is that I'm not sure how I want to say this, but the recognition of the ongoing transformation, which is what you're expressing. You know, the way you left your job, the way you retired is such a mirror for you to look in about how your practice has grown and changed over the years.
Yes, definitely.
And your response to that retreat, to the material you found and your experience of that is another affirmation of not only your transformation, but the transformation of practice. Because all of us who have been doing this for a while are going to completely new places with practice. And the monastery is going right with us. It's transforming as well and becoming more more beautiful and I don't know if accommodating is a good word, but like that. You know, so the whole thing for all of us is just growing and changing and transforming.
I love it.
I do too.
I'm just so grateful to be right in the thick of it.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
where
and let me also say that Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock is when I do my reflective listening call.
Oh, very good.
That's so wonderful. Love that too. So
yeah.
Putting a plug in for how awesome that program
and
is.
And you've been doing that for a long time.
I think since it started.
Wow. And
yes.
I can't even remember when it started, but it's been around for a while.
It's been a long time. I have loved everyone I've been with, and then you don't want to end after 3 months, and then you do, and then you know,
find
because that's part of the
person.
Practice,
yeah.
And then you fall in love with the next person. And
yeah. Yeah.
It's,
you know,
it's
that
great.
Reminds me, because as you know, with all of our retreats, well, not all of them, but most of them, we do the dyads, you know, and so I always say find somebody you don't know and haven't talked with and partner up with them, you know, and you spend a minute and a half to 3 to 4 minutes with somebody, you know, just listening to them and they just listening to you. And it's that same experience, you know, you go away thinking, what a human being. By the time the retreat's over, you've had that experience with everybody in the retreat. And it's just, you know, that feeling of, you know, I wish I could do this with everybody on the planet, because I have a feeling if we could do this with everyone on the planet, it would be the end of greed, hate, and delusion. Because we would fall in love with every single person as soon as we got to be with them in that authentic, open-hearted place that we get to in practice.
Yeah, it's so simple, it's so wonderful, and I love you're just completely present, and then you say goodbye.
Yes.
Yes, it's just like,
exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
It just like cuts off. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Some
yeah.
people might say, well, that's kind of weird, but no, it's great.
It's actually not. It takes a little getting used to, but taking a while to get used to is not the same as it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so
okay.
much for all of
thank
that.
Thank you so much, and
we'll
I'm so soon. Looking forward to being there in a couple of weeks.
All right. Good night.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. It's Danny calling from San Francisco.
Well, good evening, Danny. How are you?
I'm fabulous, thanks. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. What's going on?
Well, I haven't called since last fall, and I decided to call with my own personal good news update.
Oh, well, say more, please.
Thanks, I will. A couple months ago, I had this experience that I started out referring to as an aha moment, but I decided to stop downplaying it and call it an epiphany. And it's been life-changing.
Wonderful. Can you tell us more, or does it feel
yes.
not supportive to tell us more?
Oh, no, it would feel supportive to say more about it.
Right.
So, I caught on to this process that I was doing. I had seen for a long time how conditioning comes in and takes over, sometimes within a split second, some insight that I've had, and then uses it for its own purpose.
Uh-huh.
And somehow that got, as a result of that, I wound up with this belief that I wasn't aware of, that that the critical voices that, especially around my practice, that the critical voices that if I could strip away the meanness, that at the bottom there was some nugget of truth that I needed to get at and look at. And what I saw was that was complete horse buggy.
Well, well stated. not a particle of truth in it.
No. That as soon as any critical voice starts, that the voices have nothing to offer me about my practice. And then once I saw that, I saw, well, how I do everything, how I do anything is how I do everything. And that the voices have nothing to offer me about anything. That no critical voice is worth listening to at all.
Exactly. Oh, my God, the freedom.
The freedom, it's astounding. And in moments when a critical voice starts and I catch on and I say, and I don't follow it and I turn my attention elsewhere, there is such a feeling of joy. Sometimes I just burst out laughing.
Yes. So all of that energy that karmic instinct, the voices of self-hate, was siphoning off of you, just taking your life force away from you, now you go, we don't go there. And suddenly all of that energy just rushes back to you. And the natural result of that is a good giggle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, all this stuff about being lit up,
uh-huh.
I finally get it.
Don't you love it? It's a true story, isn't it?
This is. And I'm lit up in general, but what's really one thing that's particularly amazing to me is that I'm lit up about practice for the first time in years.
Oh, God, that makes my heart sing. Yes, because when you're lit up about practice, you're lit up about life, you're lit up about everything.
That's it. And you know, there's something that I've heard you say a lot over the years, that conditioning took over, that self-hate took over and used as perhaps one of the biggest clubs against me, which is that spiritual practice doesn't begin until the beatings end. I was being beaten.
Yeah, over that.
Over that, and therefore, spiritual practice hadn't begun. And so it was this endless loop of being beaten for being beaten.
Yeah, yeah.
And I finally see like what that, like the, not just, I finally see the truth of that, that up until now, my practice has been, for the most part, it's been conditioning that's been practicing.
Yes, practicing that, keeping you stuck, practicing maintaining control over you.
Yes. And by not listening to the voices, by not looking at practice, by not looking at practice through the lens of conditioning, practice is a completely different thing. I've been able to see so many things that I hadn't been able to see before, because before I would like start to see something and I'd get beaten up over it and then I'd stop looking at it.
Yes. Yes.
It was all pseudo zen.
Yes. 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 And so now in this place of clarity, all of those, it's across the board. So there's a saying like spiritual practice doesn't begin until the beating stops. In the dark room, that's a hateful, hideous message. Now, in this place of clarity, you see it through the lens of the light room and just go, oh, yes, Oh, that's true. That's actually, that's a kind message. It's
only,
right? It's only in the dark room that it's hateful. And we can just go down the list of, oh, that's what that means. I see. Okay, got it. That's what that means. And we can see that each of the messages of practice, when viewed from the light room, are messages of joy, of possibility, optimism, kindness. And as you've noticed and are very clear and articulate about, they get dragged into the dark room, those same messages, and they turn into something nasty and sinister.
Yes.
That's a beautiful thing.
One of the things that I've been beaten up for under the guise of pseudo-Zen was not feeling grateful. I had this stuck on, where's my gratitude? How come I don't feel grateful for practice? How come I don't feel gratitude? Blah, 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 blah. Sure, I am so grateful.
Oh, I am so happy. I'm so happy for you and for all of us.
Yeah, I'm really grateful for you and for the practice and for Sangha
and for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
that's
the thing. How about this guy who never gave up? Who just kept on putting one foot in front of the other, even though just about all of the information he was getting was not pleasant and happy.
It's so true. You know, when this happened, I had been entertaining thoughts of like a 6-month trial separation from Sangha and practice.
Wow.
The beatings had gotten so bad, the resistance and all the stories about what the resistance means, and somehow there was the willingness to just through it all, just to put one foot in front of the next.
Yeah, and at the risk of, one of those statements that cause people's eyes to roll, the thing you can know about this is life really loves you. Right? Because if you had gone in that direction, we can guess that it would have been a very long, dark time ahead.
Yeah.
The story, of course, is if you would just quit practice, then everything would get better somehow. There wouldn't be all that resistance and all those beatings and all those voices, but, oh, my God, it would just be truly a swan dive into hell.
Yeah.
Wow. I'll tell you, you have made one other person very, very happy.
I'm pleased to have the ability to do that.
Isn't it grand?
it's repaying the gift with the same coin, or however the expression goes.
Yep, practice is a debt that we can only repay with the same coin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all
okay.
those people who kept putting one foot in front of the other, the Buddha didn't start from scratch. So back forever, as far as people have been showing up and going through what's required to go through to find that place of clarity and compassion and lightness and joy. You know, we can just make gusho and say a heartfelt thank you to each and every one of them and to that within us that keeps us going, even when it seems like everything is impossible and there's no reason to do it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm making deep gusho. I'm saying thank you.
Me too. Me too.
I'll call in again soon.
All right. I don't even have to tell you to take good care of yourself. I know you will.
Thank you. Anyway.
All right.
Thanks so much. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Danny. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Yeager. Wow, that was fun.
It was really fun.
That's two other people really happier now.
I have one of those grins that, you know, a person lives to have. Yeah.
Yes. Very beautiful.
It is very beautiful, and I'm so glad Danny called in and said that. Well, I mean, I'm so glad, you know, everybody, Janet and Rebecca, and, you know, whenever somebody has that experience of practice to put it out there, because boy, when we're stuck in those murky places, it just doesn't seem possible. And the more people like us, you know, who've been stuck in murky places and find their way into the light, you know, it is encouraging. It is inspiring. So, yeah, it's good. And it doesn't mean we don't want to hear from the people who are in the muck and mire, because goodness knows we do. But it's just good to be reminded that all of this is possible, and that resistance that's working so hard to stop us, it has nothing in mind but our misery and suffering. There's nothing good to come of it, and so I don't know. There's something to me that's kind of even hopeful about that choiceless place of I have to keep going forward. I can't stop and I can't go back. And there's something liberating just in recognizing that. So, yeah, it's good.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Sherry. We're going to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Okay. Thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta from Washington State.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is David calling from Hawaii.
This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
It's Rebecca from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
It's Ramita calling from South Carolina.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Todd calling from Canada.
2012 marks 10 years that Sherry and Michael have been doing Open Air. They have fielded thousands of your calls and archived hundreds of shows. In this year of deepening practice, we invite you to give a donation to support Open Air. Go to the Living Compassion website, click on the Donations tab, and make a donation of any size to the Zen Center, writing Open Air in the notes field. Step forward to be part of expanding the transformation. Lend your support today.
We're very lucky people.
We are very lucky people.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Good night.
Good night.
You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So shine.
This beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Colligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection, moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah, You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Talk Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. We have another caller, Sherry.
Hey.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Greta.
Well, hello, Greta.
Hi.
How is it going?
Well, I called to report some, I kind of liken it to being thrown a little bit of a life raft by life.
Oh, that's a good moment.
Yeah, yeah. So it kind of goes with what you were talking about. You know, we have to keep going forward. We can't go backward.
Uh-huh.
But one thing that was positive was I got a supplement that's helping me somewhat.
Oh, good.
So on the physical level, I got some relief, which helps a great deal.
A great deal.
Yeah.
Body and mind are one.
Yeah.
It's really difficult when one is struggling mightily to be 100% with the other.
Right, right. And on my own little personal retreat front, I've been continuing to work on that. And I had a dream the other night, which I don't usually dream very much, but I woke up right from the dream, and I knew, you know, it's one of those unmistakable things that happened. And so the content of the dream was just that it was my house where I grew up, and we were going around from door to door, like someone was supposed to be leaving like Christmas presents at the door. And we were going from door to door looking for them, and it wasn't clear who was with me, but that person said, well, see, they didn't leave them because of you. And I opened the last door, and there were two little packages on the porch there. And in the dream, I opened the package, and I read a note, and that was what was in the package for me, and this is what the note said. It said, while life cares for all of us, life cares more often for some of us.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Well, I felt like it was beyond words, really. I mean, I woke up and I got up and I said, wow. Plus, I had been asleep, so I felt really good, and I just said, you know, wow, that's amazing that this message came to me from myself, I guess, myself and being cared for by life.
You know, I call those enlightenment dreams.
Uh-huh.
You know, where if something comes to us in that way, and it's not a, oh, there's a lot of hidden meaning in there for me. You know, you can tell when you wake up that you're different because of what you've received. So it's kind of like the, you know, like the epiphany Danny was talking about, where it just, on every level, you're different. You know, your energy is different, emotionally, mentally, physically, everything is different.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why I kind of, feel like it's like the life preserver. You know, I'm not out of the water.
That's right.
I'm still having to learn to swim.
Yep.
But I've got this faith now and a very clear message. I've never read a note in a dream before that I
didn't even know that was possible, actually. So I thought you couldn't read in a dream. So that is big.
Yeah, yeah. And I had really been seeing that evening before I went to sleep, I had really been seeing that I had all this baggage about you know, why do I have to take care of myself? Why can't I just be a normal person? Like, why do I have to do all these special things for myself? You know, why is this body the way it is? And I just got it, you know, even before the dream, I just got it that, wow, you know, what is it that you're begrudging? What are you believing? Why are you begrudging this care for this person, which is care for everybody?
Yeah.
You know, it's not just about you. It's about caring.
Yes, yes. You're learning to love.
Exactly.
And so it is that kind of creepy moment of realizing, wait a minute, I think this is maybe not actually me who is resentful of the fact that I'm required to learn to love.
Right, right. And I was reminded of something that you said on an open air at one time where you were talking and you said, you know, if you had a child, would you say, how long do I have to love this person? You know, you would never say that. I mean, I have this system that is built in like that, and now I can see that life is guiding me to get over it and move in another direction and learn to care.
Yeah. You know, I just saw this for the first time when you said that, that it literally, with something like this, it's like there's a, you know, you have a virus that is has attacked your body, and the virus is the self-hate virus, or the anti-love, the no compassion virus, and the only way that you can overcome that you can be healed from that, is to learn to love unconditionally. What a gift.
Well, I would say that resonates completely with what my experience has been looking at this whole time that I've been struggling, and what, you know, I've been called to it again and again, and I've resisted it again and again. And as you say, now I'm at that choiceless place, and like, wow, you know, really, what is hard about that in the long run?
Yes, and you have these gifts, and you have this faith that is just what you need to get through this. I mean, it's...
Sorry, I missed part of that.
Well, you have these gifts.
Right.
You know, and you have the faith.
The faith, yes.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like at each step along the way, we are handed what we need to take the next step. If we'll just keep taking those steps, if we just won't listen to those voices telling us to quit, it's too hard, you can't do it, if we just take the next step, the next thing will be given to us.
And the thing I've seen is that's the patience that's required, and the faith, that faith is necessary to be patient, because conditioning just drives us to urgency. You know, you need to find another doctor. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to fix it right now. And yet life doesn't live at that pace. Life unfolds, as you say, step by step. And we're required to just, what I'm really seeing is just stop and notice what's happening, and don't fall for all of this nonsense that's just is what is making you sick. It's kind of like the virus talking, as you're saying.
Yes, yes, that's such an important point, that it's what's making you sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that there's something making you sick that it's talking about, and if you would just do what it said, then you would stop being sick. It's what's making you sick, so not to fall for it, because as you well know, if somebody waved a magic wand and you're healed, would you learn to love unconditionally? Probably not.
No, I see that totally. In listening to the recordings of the Not What But How retreat, there was someone who said, you know, on this side of it, I would have never chosen the life I have for myself, but I see how perfectly life has been giving me all the things I really need.
Oh, and to get to that place, that's the... That's where we fall down and kiss the ground in gratitude.
Oh, and I am extremely grateful. And as you say, we have the tools, but what's making this all work for me is having Sangha.
Yes.
You know, being able to connect and practice, and whether it's listening to Sangha from that retreat or calling in, or just, you know, I'm constantly have my headphones on with something.
Yeah.
To keep me on the, you know,
yes.
Have this antidote, my antiviral medication,
right.
However we want to look at it,
yeah.
You know, that support is so critical. I mean, I have all my practice tools all over the place. I have to.
Yeah, and of course the voices would say, you shouldn't need to. You should be able to do this on your own. There's really something wrong with you that you can't, and that is the biggest lie of all. We need all the help we can get all the time.
Yes, and so I'm extremely grateful that it's there for me and for all of us when we need it, because it is totally critical to keeping that one foot in front of the other.
Yes.
It's like we would run out of fuel if we didn't have that ability to tap in.
Yes, and you know, to bring it kind of full circle, the voices would have us believe that when we're in that kind of down place, or we're really vulnerable, or struggling to lift that foot up and put it down again, that we're not really doing our part. But that's
yes.
True. That is so not true. Because as we know, sooner or later, we'll all be in that position. And to have the information that it's all right wherever anybody is, you know, it's okay for us each to that we need to explore every step along the path. That's critical.
Yeah, I think that really is an important point, because that's how we could get where Danny was saying, he was getting talked into the idea that he just needed to give up practicing.
Yes.
But you're not doing it right, so just stop.
Just stop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of, wait a minute. Wait a minute, that's not a good message. I'm going to find somebody else to talk to. Then there's life to give the different message the other message that we so need to hear.
Well, I was very grateful that life kind of came in the clearest way possible to give me that message. And I guess the other thing I see about it is, you know, conditioning wants all of these things to be really concrete, you know, and they're not. I mean, life isn't like conditioning, and the way it supports us is, as you say, kind of in the way we need, and it doesn't measure up to any kind of standard that conditioning might offer. So we can't be comparing it. We have to be open to whatever comes in that way.
And that's how we get to experience miracles.
Yes, I would say that's exactly so.
Well, thank
you. So I just wanted to report in
yes,
that
thank you.
I was feeling supported, always.
Good. Thanks for checking in. Because, again, it's, you know, we hear from somebody in one place, it's good to know, you know, when they've got that other foot put down and things are different. So.
And I think it happens because we call in.
Yes.
You know, I only called in a week ago. And so it makes a huge difference to make that effort.
Yeah. To make that effort for ourselves and for everyone else.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you,
Michael. Greta.
Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Greta. You're listening to Open Air. Inspiring night tonight, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Lisa in Oakland.
Hi.
How are you?
I am. Well, you know what? From a bird's eye view, and depending on where I place my attention, I've never been better. I'm great, but I am feeling so scared about calling.
Ah.
And,
that's
why I'm calling. Well, I thought maybe tonight I would... I could talk about that a little bit, because I made this. Open Air was the first. It was my first entry into you and your work. Somebody had given me your name, and before I ever read a book, I started listening to Open Air. So kind of a very, it's a very important part of me kind of latching onto this part of practice, the part that you bring and everybody, part of the Sangha brings. And, but I never thought I would call in. And then eventually I went to the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, which was life-changing. And I made a commitment to call. And I did it. And then I made a inner commitment that I would call every 2 months with the caveat that if I got a beating, which I think I've told you already, then I would call 6 weeks. And I did that. And I kind of, no matter what happened, I just put my attention back on the task at hand and kind of turned my voice, my attention away from the voices. And but for whatever reason, this is one of the toughest things for me. This, I don't know why, but the sort of the calling in and having it recorded and knowing that it gets broadcast, it brings up my self-consciousness, which I, there's a ton of voices about the self-centeredness involved and being self-conscious and all these things. And anyway, after the last time I called, the beating was so bad. It's taken me 5 months to call back. And and it's just been really tough. But I know two things. Well, one thing I hear you say is, you know, when the voices are screaming, when self-hate and conditioning is screaming, that's exactly maybe what I need to move towards.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you know, I would encourage you to say, look, if you keep this up, I'm going to call in every week. Call in every week until you shut up. And then, you know, and then you do it. Because the thing you know, and I know you know this, is they've only got so much ammunition. They just do. They can only have the power over you that you give them, right? So
right.
when you call their bluff like that and you stick to it, you win, because there's nothing that they can do. They can run the same tape loop over and over and over and over. But after a while, it's like, come on, guys, you don't have anything. There's no new stuff here. I mean, what? We've heard this. You know, you've been shouting the same stuff now for how long? Am I really supposed to take this seriously? You know, you're threatening me with all this stuff. Nothing's happening.
Right.
I'm sorry, I
could see that in other areas of my life, and even with public speaking, which for whatever reason is one of the toughest things for me.
Oh,
do
you know,
like
it's the number one fear of human beings. Do you know that? The number one fear. Yeah.
It always feels so much bigger, at least for me. I guess I don't know how other people feel, but it feels like, mine is so big.
No.
But I know.
Pretty much everybody is equally terrified.
Yeah, and I know in other areas where I've gone on and I've persisted with public speaking, that sometimes the vulnerability that feels, it just feels selfish is how it feels to me. It feels like it's so much about me and not about the other person, about listening, and or about being there. And you know, and that may be true, but sometimes the once I persist with public speaking and things I have to do publicly, some of that vulnerability helps me be present and in the moment.
Uh-huh.
When I push through the fear, when I get used to the fear.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought something when you said that, you know, that to me the way that vulnerability could really work well for everybody is that to recognize, as again, I know you know, there's a really young person in there who's having that experience, right? It's a little girl who feels.
Yeah, a very little kid,
Yeah, who feels vulnerable like that. And so you can take her hand and help her through this. And she can help you remember that everybody else is having the same experience, whether they're in touch with it or not. No? Everybody's
right.
Walking around pretty much all the time as a vulnerable little kid caught in a survival system that's mostly ruining their lives, hoping to be loved and appreciated, hoping not to be hurt, and that, I mean, there we have the human experience.
Yeah, and
so
sometimes
she can be your avenue to recognizing that in everybody you meet.
Right. Yeah. And maybe it's about, and I can see places in my life where that manifests, and it's just, with ego, it's tough to have it so publicly, to disintegrate so much publicly, you know. And then I keep, what I've been doing with calling in is turning away from that. And even while I was waiting to go on before updates, I signed up for listening buddies. So.
Oh, good.
Reflective listening buddies. Yeah.
Oh, good.
I was like, well, that's something. I really wanted to come to the monastery again this year, and I'm not going to have the resources this year and be able to do it. But I thought, well, that's something I can do, and I've been meaning to do that, and I've never signed up, and I could do it right now, and that's something I can do instead of feeling afraid, right?
Good for you.
Yeah, to do something on the phone, but one-on-one, as opposed to, I mean, we're one-on-one, but it's, you know.
But, you know, there are a couple of other people. But
there might be some other people listening out there.
Hey, but now are you stopping and taking in the fact that you're really doing fine?
On the phone?
Yeah, right. I mean, right now. So, you know, there's that in the third chakra or whatever it is, and the voice is one of them, and really, that's all that's going on, and we're having a conversation.
Right, and so I can tell the part of me that's going to listen to this and has the potential to listen more to the beginning when I was feeling so nervous and upset. And so, right, I can just talk to that person right now and say, this is going on too, and I feel actually pretty present.
Exactly.
And calm.
Yes.
And I'm like, I can hear you.
Yes, and as we've been talking about, particularly tonight, it's a tremendous help.
Oh, there's my timer.
It's a tremendous help for other people who are in the same place and feel like they're the only ones, and they're being beaten up by the voices, and they think they can't talk on the show because blah, 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 blah. And so every time one of us steps forward and reveals what self-hate, what conditioning is doing and saying, all the rest of us who have exactly the same thing going on could go, all right, I have that.
Right. Because what I get told is it's a boring topic, and this one kills me. I'm aware of it, but it still can get me. You know, even though intellectually I know I don't want to go to self-hate and conditioning for my information about how to behave, there's still parts of me that will listen, and I get this sort of I'm going to call, I'm going to become identified, and in order to get protected from that, I shouldn't call, which I think counts as extortion.
Yes.
You know.
Like, Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think when you practice that in the world, you go to jail.
Yeah. And boy, for everybody listening, this came up with Danny, that story about if you would just quit doing this stuff, the beatings will stop. I mean, that is such an enormous lie. So
right.
Yes, the more resistance there is to something, the more we know that that's the direction we need to go in, because we cannot let it control us. We just can't. We just can't. The stakes are too high.
Well, thank you, and thank you for doing this. And it's, you know, I love listening to everyone else. So
yeah,
we're a
good
team,
aren't we?
Be a part of it.
Yeah,
people
and it
are
takes
amazing. They amaze me.
Yeah, it takes everybody. It takes every one of us. Takes every one of us to have a sangha. So
yeah,
good.
So well,
thank you,
Sherry and Michael.
All right, thanks for calling. Thanks for getting past that, and do it again, please. And again, I hope you'll follow that little wise piece of guidance that says, anytime they start with you, if you don't shut up about this, I'm going to do it every week. If you don't shut up about that, I'm going to do it every day.
Right.
Show them who's boss. All right. Good night.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Another great show, Sherry.
Ah, love these people, don't you?
Me too. Yeah, it's amazing. I feel like I've gotten a lifetime's worth of wisdom in an hour.
I know.
Incredible.
And such an open heart. As a result of it, it's just
yes,
it's beautiful. All right, well, thank you, sir. I'll talk to you pretty soon, then, huh?
Okay, great. Thank you, Sherry.
Good night, Michael.
Good night.